Welcome to the Connected Insurance Podcast, presented by Agency Revolution. Listen to interviews with the most influential people in the insurance industry. Learn the most important strategies, tactics, trends, and challenges facing today's independent insurance agents and brokers. New episodes every Wednesday. Visit agencyrevolution.com and click media to explore the Connected Insurance family of resources for insurance agents and brokers. Subscribe today and get updates delivered right to your inbox. And now, without further delay, the Connected Insurance Podcast.
Hello, everybody. This is Michael Janz, co-founder of Agency Revolution and host of this, the Connected Insurance Podcast, presented by Agency Revolution, creators of the most powerful marketing and communication software built specifically to meet the needs and solve the problems of insurance agencies and brokerages. I can assure you this, that Agency Revolution can help you deepen and strengthen the relationship between your agency and your customer base, and between your agency and your marketplace. If you haven't had a demo in the last 6 to 9 months, it's time for another one. I've seen some of the latest features. Blew me away. As you probably know, I'm no longer the CEO of Agency Revolution. I sold that company about a year and a half ago. And some of the things that new ownership has done have been tremendous, with tremendous investments in advances in technology. So take a look at it. So that being said, I want to welcome you to the podcast and welcome you to this conversation with a longtime industry leader. He's been in the industry longer than I have, and he now functions as CEO of NASA. Not the rocket ship people, NASA, acronym for North American Software Associates. And they are creators of one of the early, certainly, agency management systems, and one that is continuing to grow, continuing to expand. They're in 36 states. The CEO, Bruce Dickoff, and I have a conversation about what's happening in the industry right now, the insights he has on how things have changed, and some astute and concise recommendations on how agencies should face the changes of today, face the challenges of today, and meet them head on. So please, without further ado, it is my privilege to introduce you to my friend and colleague in the industry, a thought leader in his own right, the CEO of NASA, Bruce Dickoff. Bruce Dickoff, thank you so much for joining us. How are you?
I'm good.
All righty. So I want to start by giving the audience an opportunity to get to know you. So if you would be kind enough, share a little bit of a thumbnail about how you got to be where you are now. And then, of course, we're going to dig into some of the stuff that you're doing now. But I think there's some fascinating parts in your background. So a little bit of the story would be fun.
All right. Well, I started with North American Software back in 1986, and that I was fresh out of school with a two-year degree in computer programming. So, thinking I'm going to be a technical person.
I got to pause here just for a moment here. You know, back in 1986, it wasn't exactly the cutting edge of the insurtech movement. So how is it that you thought like insurance and technology was going to be a really cool thing? Cause now you've been doing it forever. Back then, what was it that motivated you?
Well, I mean, honestly, it was probably a lot by just chance.
Yeah. Okay.
a roommate of mine from college had, gone and accepted a job at this company. I had gone elsewhere for a short time, and he called me up and said there was an opening. You should come on out and give this a try. And I went and interviewed and got a job with the company. And at that time, there was all of about, including the owner, like five people.
Yeah, okay. All right. Were you a programmer?
Yes.
All right.
I was a programmer, but because of our size, that meant I was a programmer. I did customer support and training over the phone in both traveling to insurance agencies, and so a little bit of everything.
Okay, and the company, you refer to it as North American Software, and the A stands for something at the end.
Associates,
okay. Now, I don't know if this is common, but I have always referred to it as NASA.
Yeah, right? Everybody pretty much does.
Okay, so, and this is not the other NASA.
No, it's not.
Okay. But you got your moonshots. You still have your moonshots you're shooting for, so won't take that away from you. So you started there out of college, and then what? And that was a long time ago, and so you have been there ever since.
Yes, yeah. In myself and another individual who happened to who was a salesman for the company at the time, or on the sales side, both of us, we just seemed to be a constant there. There were other programmers and people that had come and gone, but we were there still, and he had been there for a couple of years prior to me, because the company actually started in 1982. And in 1995, the original owner of the company, who, for those who don't know about our background, is we were located in the basement of a bank, because the owner of the company was the son of the president of the bank at the time.
Got
and
it.
So
okay.
They had a, you know, back then we're talking mainframe computers, not PC. Is like nowadays, so they had the big mainframe computer there for the bank to run off of.
Right.
So we just piggybacked on that and wrote the software using the same computer the bank ran on a daily basis. And in 1995, the owner, who by that point wasn't involved as much, he was getting more involved in the banking side of things, so he offered to the company to myself and the other individual who was the salesman at the time. So at that time, we took over. We did actually stay in the basement of the bank for another 4 years before we finally decided we'd outgrown
it. Hey, did the bank have an agency?
Yes, had an agency.
So they were a client, okay.
Yes, they were our initial client. They were always the one that tested everything. And that was kind of our forte at the time, was agencies that were owned by banks in the Midwest. That was probably all our customers.
Oh, interesting. I'll bet that customer base has changed a lot.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Okay.
Now we've got little mom and pop shops, or we got people that, okay, I've got this insurance agency. I run it out of a room in my house. You know, we've had every different size.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. All right. So, and by the way, for listeners who maybe they don't know what you deliver, you know, we can dig into what NASA does later, but in general, what's your product offering? What is the problem you solve for independent insurance agencies?
We have the Eclipse Agency Management System. So a front to back system for running your office, running it paperless. We have accounting built in, and that's all we've ever done. We've stuck with that. We haven't veered from that. So that's what we've been doing for 30 plus years here.
Got it. All right. And by the way, also maybe full disclosure for the audience, Bruce, I've known about NASA forever, but we never really had a relationship. And then recently, Agency Revolution and NASA integrated.
That's correct.
So boom, seemed like, okay, I'm going to get this guy on a podcast. All righty. So, you've been there, and so you went from coder, customer service, and three or four other jobs. Now you're the CEO.
Correct.
Which means you still have three or four other jobs. Cause,
yes.
All right. As I recall, you had mentioned one of our earlier conversations that you had Home Shopping Network as a client, or they had an insurance agency. Yes?
I mean, yeah,
we're going back in the day here, right?
Yeah, okay. We're talking 1988.
In 1988. All right. So Home Shopping Network was not old.
No, they were growing and booming and throwing around money like there was no end to it. And they had a little insurance agency that started out selling life insurance on TV.
Yeah, okay. So somebody actually, like in the HSN style, somebody was like giving a pitch?
Yes.
For like, and there, was there also a countdown timer?
I'm not sure about that. I never
This deal's going to go away. Yeah, that would be a classic piece of footage if you could ever find it.
Right.
I'm sure they shredded it. But so just out of curiosity, do you know how long did that insurance agency last?
Gosh, I'd have to look. I would say from the time we got involved with them anyway. And matter of fact, I believe there's still a it was actually sold off to one of the managers or something at some point in time over the years. I believe they're still a customer of ours.
It's funny.
They're smaller than they were at that point, but
Yeah, okay. They don't have quite the immediate access to the medium that they used to either.
No.
Yeah, okay. So so now, you know, that brings us to now. So very quickly, so obviously you're working with hundreds or thousands of agencies. What states is your customer base primarily in?
Well, we're spread across the nation. I believe we have clients right now in 36 or 37 states.
Okay. Is there a concentration? Do you see more? Because we often see that happen is, you know, if company starts somewhere, they'll grow from there.
Oh, absolutely, the Midwest.
Yeah.
I mean, Minnesota being our largest, since that's where we're based, and probably our second size state is Michigan.
Yeah. Okay.
But we're heavy into North Dakota, South Dakota, just kind of the region up
kind of your turf. But but you're expanding, and now you're in 36 states. All right.
Yes.
So here's part of what. This is what I really like about talking to people that have kind of the length of experience in the industry that you have, and also such a bird's eye view. You're not in the agency, sort of consumed with day-to-day operations. You get to look at agencies from a little bit of a bird's eye view, and you've now done it for a long time. So, you know, back in the day, throw home shopping network notwithstanding, you know, the average independent insurance agency worked in a certain business environment. And, you know, now slowly boil that water, you know, over the years and boom, things are quite different now. What do you see from your perspective? What do you see as, the things that are changing the industry? What makes it different to be in an independent insurance agency? What are the challenges that an agent today is facing, you know, that maybe mom or dad or uncle, you know, didn't have to deal with?
One of the big things I'm seeing different is it's rare that we come across agencies that are just the little. They're the insurance office in one location. They have their employees that come to work in that spot. That's what they do. That's getting to be rare. That's what it used to be. Now agencies are merging. Older agency owners are selling out, so they may be transferring it down to others in a family. They may be selling it off to a group of agencies. We're seeing a lot of agencies forming groups.
Mm-hmm.
You know, to have access to markets that they don't have individually.
Mm-hmm.
And with that comes all the differences of, okay, now we're spread across a geographical area, and we're not just all sitting together in the same office. How do we communicate? How do we keep up? How do we keep everybody up on what we're all doing? You know, which really ties it back to an agency management system and having one that is accessible no matter where you're at. No matter where you're at, if you have an internet connection, you should have access to your system, because that's where everything you need to know about all your clients, which is where your money comes from, that should all reside there, so that no matter where you're at or who else in your office needs to know something about it, they have access to that data at their fingertips. So they can serve the clients quicker, more efficiently, because that's what everybody wants.
To some extent, I think part of what you're saying is agencies are bigger than they used to be on average.
Yes.
Right.
Yes,
I mean, you still might. You know, this is interesting, and I don't know if you're seeing this. Back in the day when, you know, kind of previous incarnation for me, when the economy went through recession, right? Now, you know, I was the CEO of Agency Revolution. We were getting a lot of inbound calls from startups, you know, kind of little teeny operations where, you know, somebody just got sort of ruthlessly and brutally tossed out of, you know, the mortgage business or the real estate business or, you know, a loan origination or something like that. And they thought, well, you know, they could sell insurance. I don't know if that's happening much.
Yeah, we don't see near as many startups anymore.
Yeah. Okay. But you probably did, like I did, yes. You know, 10 years ago or so. Yeah, I was surprised because I thought, well, now this is a time where we're really going to see consolidation of the marketplace. We're going to have fewer agencies because so many of them are going to just be, you know, threadbare. And we did see an influx of mergers and acquisitions. I know some of our clients, you know, went through that process. But we also saw this influx of these small startups. And my suspicion has been this isn't the environment where that happens. Maybe the next recession, but not this one. And so right. We're seeing larger ones. But now this other phenomena that you referred to, and some of it has to do with size, that now, you know, the agency's got half a dozen locations spread around through some region in the state, or maybe they got 15 locations in three states, whatever. And so there is size, which means that some team members never meet other team members. Boom. But we've also got, and I'm curious what your observation is about this, we've also got a growing demand in the marketplace for the ability to work remotely.
Yeah.
Number one, clearly, if you got the agency management system, you can log in anywhere, right?
Right.
But also, it does present other challenges for leadership. And I have noticed that a number of our clients, a number of my clients, are drifting towards certain collaboration software platforms like Slack, for example, as a way teams can talk to each other. Are you seeing anything in that direction?
Not a lot.
Yeah.
Not a lot with our client, you know, clientele, but,
I think it's coming.
Yes.
I think it's coming. I think we're sort of in the period where agency principals are, feeling the tension and some of the frustrations of, you know, that happens with remote workers and they're looking for solutions.
I mean, we see from our side of it where they're wanting more things. How can I, through the system, how can I kind of keep an eye or be able to tell better what people are doing? How can I see, you know, premium numbers? How can I see new policies that are coming through? You know, how can I have some way to know that, okay, they're out there working somewhere and they're actually producing?
Okay, so for a principal, they are able to look like into the agency management system and see how much activity transpired, right?
Exactly, yes.
But that's pretty transactional. It's not really relational,
right.
You know? So
yeah.
So the conversation, the rapport building, the, you know, kind of that intimacy of face-to-face needs to be cracked through other means.
Yes.
Technology helps.
Yes.
Okay. Got it. All right. So my original question was, you know, like trends and forces, what do you see changing the industry? So number one, you're seeing consolidation and you're seeing kind of a distribution of agency teams, geographic distribution of agency teams, which has challenges. Other forces and trends you see that like today's agent needs to deal with?
Well, I mean, there's an obvious one to some that, you know, it's the different types of competition they're going up against.
Yeah, okay.
You know, with the GEICOs and Progressive Online and, you know, so big call centers that people can call into, and having access to their data over the, you know, or, you know, instant access. And I mean, I think a lot of it comes down to, at least for some of the agencies that have maybe been around for a while, is they really have to take advantage of the technology that they have in front of themselves right now. There's definitely new technologies coming out that they need to keep an eye on and use. But, for instance, whether it's our system or anybody's agency management system, they need to use it and need to know what's there. I mean, we see, you know, on a regular basis, we talk with our clients, or when we have a user conference to bring our clients together, we talk to them, we find out that all of a sudden, as we start showing things to them, they're like, I had no idea that I could do this.
You get change requests from your customers. Hey, can you guys develop this thing? Right? Oh, you mean that thing that is in your system right now and has been for the last 10 years?
Yeah. I mean, I haven't seen over the years, you know, that agencies do a good job of making sure that their staff knows what they have to use at their fingertips now, not, you know, worried too much about looking at other things. They need to know what they have, because there's that, you know, they need time. That's what they really need, because they need to interact with the clients.
Right.
You know, because you need, like you mentioned, the rapport. They need to have that rapport with their clients, too. Well, to do that, they need to make sure that they're efficient in any type of the paperwork, the grind that they have to do. There's certain things that have to be done. But keep that to a minimum. Let the system do it for you, and so you have that time when you have, you know, need to talk to a new prospect and go out and visit them and look at their business to get, you know, be ready to quote them, things like that. You know, keep existing customers, get new customers. You got to be available, and for that you need to make sure you have the time.
So you've presented a little bit of an interesting conundrum. On one hand, I think what you're saying is absolutely right. The agency principal needs to make sure that their staff really understands the capabilities of the tools that they have, the power of the capabilities of the tool they have, the features. And yet in many cases, the expertise lies with the staff, not the principal. How do you overcome that problem?
Oh, yeah, that's definitely interesting, because it's not uncommon to see the agency principal be the person that, you know, talks to us, purchases the system, turns around, says, here you go, to his staff.
Sally, you deal with this, right? And then, yes, that she and the team develop expertise, and the principal maybe never puts their fingers on the keyboard to manipulate it.
Absolutely. He just tells his secretary or whoever,
right,
somebody to get him a report or get him this.
Roll the clock forward 3 years, and they've developed a kind of a habitual comfort level that determines how much of it they're going to use, right? And they're just,
right,
they're too busy to explore all of the other features. And, you know, it may not have quite the same interests or perspective that the agency leadership has. Boom, we got a problem here, right?
Yeah, and actually, I would say some of our top performing agencies that we see doing the best job,
right,
and growing, they're the ones where the principal is directly involved with the system. We have some of those where the principal, he's the one that will call us up and say, hey, I've got an idea here. You think the system could do this?
Mm-hmm.
Could we get this information out of the system? Could we store this or whatever it might be? He's actually the one that'll call with the idea for us.
All right.
Those are the really good agencies.
You are, on one hand, jumping the gun on my next question, which is fine, which is, what do you see, like, the really successful agencies doing that others aren't? So you identified a behavior that might be critical, but my guess is that there are listeners who just heard what you just said and are quietly, internally resisting what you just said, right? So I want to drill into that one for a moment. You chose to engage in technology as a career, and you were, you know, whatever, 22 years old. And perhaps, I mean, somewhere along the line in the early days, you decided you were going to learn the technical skills of programming. So, safe presumption here, you're comfortable with technology.
Yes.
Right? So then we get, and so here, you know, I'm going to make a generalization that's, you know, maybe dumb, but we have to make some generalizations because now working with my own clients, millennials are digital natives. And so technology is not a foreign language to them. And the use of contemporary technology is not foreign to them. More than likely, they'll get their hands on a great deal of insurance software and think it's, gosh, this is awfully old school. Okay, so it's never the millennials, in my experience, that need to overcome this technology resistance barrier. Then, you know, the Gen X probably could throw pretty much into the same bag. But among the boomers, there are those who, for some reason, you know, and I have to consider myself in this group, we're just kind of comfortable around technology, right? Whatever. I mean, various reasons that I might be in that group, and it just as easily could have been in a different group, right? But
right.
So those guys, yeah, they generally kind of like technology, maybe willing to buy, download apps. Their phone might have a lot of apps. They might play with certain productivity technologies just to, you know, test out the freemium version before they buy the premium version, all that jazz. But there's, you know, technology has become such a central part of the insurance as a business. And frankly, there are those who, you know, just not super comfortable with it. They're, you know, it's a source of maybe frustration or, you know, makes them uncomfortable. What, you know, and I'm not going to say that the world's just going to pass them by. What do they need to do?
One of the things with agencies, and we're seeing it, you know, is they need to obviously embrace and work toward bringing in more of these millennials and the younger generation into their agencies.
Yeah.
You know, and because they can learn from them. They can learn how to use some of this technology, and they don't need to be the experts in it. And, I mean, yes, I love technology. It's what I've done, the developing, programming, all that over the years. But the whole idea that we try to look at it from is, okay, that's great, but what we put out, we need to try to make it as untechnical as possible for those end users to make it easier for them and not to help them not fear that this is, oh no, I'm going to press a button and I'm going to delete everything, or
right.
You know, I don't want to. I mean, it's rare that we come across an agency nowadays that does, if they, you know, if they're coming to us or whatever, that they don't already have something that they use. Mm-hmm. For technology, for a system. Every so often, we just had one the other day, and they were small, a 5 or 6 person agency, but they were working with files still. They didn't have a computer system that did anything for their agency. I mean, maybe they had a rating vendor or something like that, but
ouch.
They did not
yeah.
have anything to bring all that data. I can't. It boggles my mind after, you know, the years of sitting in agencies and seeing the filing cabinets as I was training them
right.
over along the wall, and somebody, while we were there, someone would call in and they'd say just a minute, and they'd set the phone down and they'd start digging through files.
Okay.
Pull this big chunk out, you know. Yeah, it's a different world, but they need to embrace it, you know, little by little. You know, they
yeah.
use the people around you that are using it, and feed off of them. Ask them questions. See what they're doing. Learn from them. You know, an agency principal doesn't have to do all the details, but there's a lot of things that they can pretty simply use that system for, to access data and information to help them run and grow their agencies and, you know, be more successful. It's not all that complicated.
Okay. So, I mean, I agree with you. I mean, break stuff down into little bitty chunks so that life's not all that complicated. Let's dig into the life of the agency principal. Okay. So you and I mean, right now we're having we can have a conversation right now and talk about topics of extreme importance. And, agency principals might be listening and, you know, looking for tips. Meanwhile, in the real world, we are seeing a pace of change that we've never seen before. Emerging technologies, massive changes in consumer behavior, the emergence of this huge 83 million millennial generation that, have a slightly different set of values, have certain behaviors that are, you know, different, and then we've got insurtech and, you know, $10 billion, you know, swarming into the industry looking for a return on investment that comes about from successful launches of technologies and companies. That pace of change, in my view, is also one of the changes. So in other words, it's not just that things are changing, it's also that the pace in which things are changing is different. It's faster. So what I don't want is, you know, agency principals like get off of this and, you know, if they're feeling like behind, to think, yeah, I got to get around to doing some of that one of these days. It strikes me that that's a dangerous sort of approach, that like tomorrow, that like the speed of change within agencies needs a dial and we have to dial it up. How do you think agency leadership and agencies need to do that?
Oh boy.
I didn't say I was just going to throw you softballs and ask you about technology. but you know, you work with these guys and I know that you like somewhere in your head, you know, you probably have some demarcation. These are the guys who are going to kill it. I'm really impressed with what they're doing. And these are the guys who probably are going to sell because they're going to get hurt.
Yeah.
So group, how does that first group pull it off?
You know, they're involved. They're involved in the agency with the people that are there. Down to the technology, they're using it. There's plenty of there's blogs. There's insurance places. You know, where you can go online to see what's happening, what's changing, what's new coming out.
Yeah.
The PIA and different associations, when they put on meetings, they have speakers that, you know, are into this stuff and will come. They bring them in to talk about what are the trends, what do we see changing. You know, you got to be involved. You can't just sit back in that office and never look at what's happening out there, or never try to be part of it. You know, it definitely is changing at a breakneck pace. You know, every time you turn around, and that's, you know, us as a vendor, we have the problems ourselves with it, trying to keep up. Every time you turn around, there's new things to do. There's changes in the insurance industry. How do we fit that in? How do we make that easier for, you know, the agencies? But they it's like you said, they can't say, yeah, someday I need to get around to doing that. They need to start.
Okay. So I'm going to ask you like one more question here, and your answer can be as kind or brutal as you want it to be. All right. So okay. For the agent who, like, maybe they have been in the industry 15, 20, 25 years, right? And it was a different industry back then. So for the agent who's thinking, well, gosh, Bruce, this isn't what I signed up for, what do you say to them?
It's what we're dealt now.
Yeah, okay.
you're going to have to either, I mean, they do, you know, if they're not too small or big enough, you know, you can find the expertise out there. Then you need to bring in those people that will be engaged and be involved. But sooner or later, if you're not active in that agency, it's going to come back to bite you.
Got it. All right. So maybe quick summary on this one. So when you look at your most successful clients and compare them to the rest, what do you think distinguishes the most successful from the rest?
For us, I see the most successful ones are the ones that are trying to at least embrace the technology that's changing, trying to use it, trying to, you know, some of them they'll look at it and say, well, that's not how we're used to doing it. Well, but some things, some processes work better, different than how you were doing it manually when you're doing it using technology. So you got to be willing. They're the ones that are willing to take a step back and go, okay, I see what this technology can do. So how can we just change things a little bit in our environment to take advantage of that, to make things easier for us, give us more time, be able to sell, to be able to get out there and deal with the customers.
Yeah.
And those are the ones that we see. They're the ones that are growing. We see them, they'll call us and say, oh, you know, I'm buying another agency down the road, you know.
Uh-huh.
And that gets to be a regular thing. We want to merge them together. We want to bring them in. You know, we're growing our agency. Those are the people that we see doing that thing because they can. They have the resources. They know that, well, we can add on another 4 or 5 agency personnel from this agency in the next town over.
Mm-hmm.
Not a problem. We just plug them into the system and boom, we just keep moving.
Got it. So? All right. What are you excited about? Like, so now in the world you're in, you know, let's dig into NASA a little bit. What are you excited about? Let's go big picture to small picture. What are you excited about that you think technology can bring to the independent insurance agent that is new or emerging? Whether it's NASA or not, what are the kind of emerging technologies that get your attention?
Boy, it pretty much is everything to do with the web.
Uh-huh.
Everything is moving in that direction, from the management systems to connectivity to your end use, to the clients, to the insurance clients.
Right.
It's all about that, because everybody's looking for that instant gratification. If I have a question, I want an answer now. I don't care if it's 11 o'clock at night and the agency's doors are closed, and I want to be able to go to their website.
Got it.
Or a mm-hmm. website or a mobile app, and that's where everything is moving.
Into the web. Yeah. All right. And so at NASA, what's got your juices going these days?
Now that's exactly what we're working on.
Yeah.
Mobile apps, automated texting, because everybody wants to communicate quickly through texting. You know, emails already. A lot of people consider that old way of doing things. You know, so yeah, mobile apps.
Uh-huh.
For both agency personnel and for the agency's clients to have access.
Right.
That's where we're pushing everything in those directions working out.
So a lot of it's communication technology.
Yes.
It really is about the intimacy or the strength, the immediacy of the relationship between the agency and the customer.
Yes.
All right. It's a language I like. Parissa, if you're going to issue a statement to the industry and maybe make it somewhat concise, if you wanted to like deliver a message and say, hey, agency, pay attention to this. You got to pay attention to this thing. What would be your message?
It's all around the technology.
Uh-huh.
Pay attention to the changes that are happening. You know what differences are coming about. You know, some people sit back, for instance, just us as a vendor, and I'm sure everybody else does this too, send out information to agencies to let them know what's different, what's new.
Yeah.
How can, you know, what can help your agency, whether it's with us or somewhere else? You know, pay attention to that stuff. Don't just bounce it off, delete it, you know, toss it aside. You know, read. You got to consume to keep up because, like you said, it is moving so fast.
The agency of today, the agency leadership of today, that they need to be lifelong learners, don't they?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay. All righty. Bruce, if one of our listeners wanted to, if they had a question for you or if they wanted to learn more about NASA and Eclipse, how can they make contact? How can they reach out?
For a lot of people, the quickest way is just go to www.nasasoft.com. Just with looking at basic information there. You have contact right to salespeople. That they're not going to force it on you, but if you'd like to be contacted, we can give you a call. And there's go to that site. You've got our phone number, email addresses, however you'd like to get in contact with us.
Okay, start on the web. Right?
Start on the web.
NASA, yep. NASASoft.com.
That's correct.
All right. Bruce, this has been a pleasure, and I really do appreciate you sharing your insights and observations. Thanks so much.
You're welcome.
Thank you for listening to the Connected Insurance Podcast. If you found this episode informative, please share it with your peers and colleagues. Explore the Connected Insurance family of resources for insurance agents and brokers by visiting agencyrevolution.com and clicking media. Subscribe and get updates delivered right to your inbox. New episodes every Wednesday.